about life.
Oh, the barnyard is busy in a regular tizzy, and the obvious reason is because of the season. My nature's lyrical with her yearly miracle. It's spring, spring, spring. All the hen folk are hatching while the men folk are scratching to ensure the survival of each brand new arrival. Each nest is twittering, they're all babysittering. Spring, spring, spring. It's a beehive of budding son and daughter life. Every family has plans in view. Even down in the brook, the underwater life is forever blowing bubbles too. Every field wears a bonnet with some spring daisies on it. Even birds of a feather show their clothes off together. Sun's getting shinery to spotlight the finery. Spring, spring, spring. His hole, though the gopher seems a bit of a loafer, the industrious beaver puts it down to spring fever. While there's no antelope who feels that he can't elope, it's spring, spring, spring. Slow but surely, the turtle, who's enormously fertile, lays her eggs by the dozens, maybe some are her cousins. Even the catamount is nonplussed at that amount. It's spring, spring, spring. From his eyrie, the eagle with his eagle eye gazes down across his eagle beak. And affixing his lady with a legal eye screams, suppose we set the date this week. Even though to each rabbit spring is more like a habit, notwithstanding the factors they indulge in the practice. Each day is Mother's Day, the next day is a Mother's Day. It's spring, spring, spring. Even out in Australia, the kangaroos lay off butterfat and all French fries. If their offspring are large, it might be dangerous. They've just gotta keep them pocket size. Yes, sirree, spring discloses that it's all one supposes. Wagging tails, rubbing noses, but it's no bed of roses. If for the storkupine, consider the porcupine who longs to cling. Keeping company is tricky, it can get pretty sticky in the spring.
Expat Life for English Press 2.
Greetings, Xenophiles. We crossed the equinox yesterday, so it's officially spring. That's why, of course, yep, traditionally we will play that. On this day in 1961, the Beatles first played the famous Cavern Club in Liverpool. On this day in 1952, 20,000 people attempted to attend the first ever rock and roll concert, which is when Alan Freed presented the Moondog Coronation Ball at the 12,000-seat Cleveland Arena. In 1974, somebody attempted to kidnap Princess Anne in Pall Mall in London on this day. And on this day in 1980... somebody shot J.R. Ewing. Did we ever find out who, though? I don't think we ever did we? okay, and on this day, that's it. Our guest this week, psychologist, psychotherapist, coach, many things, both American and Greek at the same time, and a doctor. We have a doctor in the house, Dr. Constantina Kass. Hello.
Hello.
You made it. Yeah, so you're being chaperoned. We've got Nick on the other side there. You can say hello as well. I can turn you on.
How you doing?
Okay, all good. And a shout out to Colin Lovering. I guess. someone we have in common, let's say. The usual story. We go through the four chapters of the show. But I'll start with my usual first question. Dr. Constantina Kass, Who do you think you are?
Well, one of the wonderful things about turning 50 is I know who I am.
Oh, excellent.
A mom, a wife, psychologist, coach, and an expat at heart. I'm always my happiest traveling and moving about.
Okay. Good. Now, we'll find out where you traveled from and where you traveled to and where you traveled via. As we go through the usual four chapters, we're just going to get straight in it because there's a lot of story and not many minutes. So we go straight into the thing we call the throwback.
Expat life.
Throwback. Tell me about your childhood.
As the man said, tell me about your childhood.
Well, I was born in suburbs of Chicago.
Okay.
Greek-American family. Lots of family gatherings, food. Of course, we were constantly in each other's lives, but it was a positive thing for sure. Supportive network, for which I'm really grateful for. We have a strong family. I'm really close with my cousins. Ooh. Every year we go on a cousins trip.
A cousin? Tell me about the cousins trip.
It's great. There's 9 of us, and we've gone. This year we missed it. We unfortunately couldn't go, but Nashville, we just all get together and pretty much laugh and eat and have fun together for 3 nights.
And are these cousins kind of all American Greek or one of each or mostly what?
Both. They're all the same, similar upbringing to me. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So that must be quite a wild thing. And it's always around somewhere in the States?
States. Right. I'm trying to get them over to Romania, but we'll see how that works.
I think so too, because you could go wild in Transylvania or somewhere.
Exactly.
I'll show you some great places for that. They're going to love it. A big family from the cousins' perspective. This bit we have understood. You're very immediate family. Big, lots. Were you fighting for attention or were you the golden girl?
Well, I was the oldest by many years, so I was almost like an only child for a while. I was 8 years older than my I have 2 brothers.
Yeah.
So 8 years and 13 years difference.
Oh, so that must have been a shock for you then.
Yeah. But it was great. Yeah. We're close now, and before I was more like a mother figure when we were younger then.
Well, yeah, I suppose if you'd be the only sister, right? So it's not if it was all brothers or all sisters, the rivalry would be massive.
Yes.
But in this case, okay, so it's a nice mix. So you could pretend to, yeah, they were your dolls, basically.
Yeah, exactly. No? Exactly. Yeah.
So what did mom and dad do? How did they get along?
My mom was a teacher, elementary school teacher in Chicago, and did it for many years, retired a couple years ago. My dad was—he passed away about a little over a year ago.
Sorry to hear it.
Thanks. He was amazing. He was only went to school till he was 9 years old.
Why?
Because his mom passed away, and then they were very poor, and he had to kind of just start working at the store.
And this was in southern Greece,
yes,
right?
Yes, in a village where he was born. And then they came to America. He came to America at like 18, 19, and just became very successful, just working 7 days a week and starting from the bottom up.
The proper old American dream style.
Yeah, exactly.
Just arrive with nothing and see what you can bake.
Unbelievable, yeah.
Right, doing what?
A restaurant business, bar, restaurant business. The last business he had, we actually still in our family, Chateau Ritz. It's a banquet hall for weddings and things like that.
Right.
For all those big parties.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Big factory wedding.
And you, so you, Chicago, central Chicago, suburbs of Chicago,
suburbs.
You already said a suburb. But far out, was it far enough out to be kind of like were you trees and forests rather than concrete and streets?
Yes. Actually, our house was behind us is a forest where we lived.
Okay.
So we would walk in the forest. It was very, very nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's what you did. And when the weather was nice, evenings and weekends, climbing trees.
Not so much for me, but I did ride bike.
You're climbing trees for the little brothers. Yeah.
Exactly.
School. Did you enjoy school? Was it something you felt you just had to endure? Or were you one of those people who, weirdly enough, liked it?
I did like school. Uh-huh. Of course, I loved being with my friends, and I liked learning. Mm-hmm. And I consider myself a lifelong learner. I just finished a coaching a year ago, coaching degree. So,
but a lifelong learner and teacher, because teaching is a massive part of what you do, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, were you imagining at school your sciences or arts or literature or was there anything you particularly enjoyed?
Well, I know I didn't like math.
Okay.
That's a definite.
Well, that's I can understand that.
But yeah, psychology, you've always been interested in psychology since very young. Mm-hmm. And being a teacher, those two things.
What was it about psychology? Because some people cynically say, if I know psychology, it means I can manipulate people and get the best out of them. It was not like that. It was just pure, the fascination of, it's a very complicated little thing we got inside our heads there. Probably the most complicated thing in the universe is the brain, and it can manifest very strange behaviors. Good to understand it.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And when I was in high school, I was trained as a mental health peer professional, and I did this volunteer job.
Now, this was in... Did it come to you or did you go to it?
I went to it, yeah. Nice. I wanted to do some volunteer work, and I came across this training and did it. It was in high school, so pretty young.
Right.
And it was a suicide hotline.
Oh, hang on, wait a minute. Yeah. In at the deep end?
Yeah, yeah. It was It was fascinating. So I just love the training. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the training and I enjoyed, you know, being on the talk line.
Wow. Yeah, talking people down, as they say.
True.
Which, as we discussed this when we had a quick chat on the phone earlier, sometimes the best way to talk someone down is not to say anything, just to listen.
Yeah. Just being there for the person is very important. Showing dignity, giving them dignity, and trying to find a space where they can have some hope is the key.
Yes.
I think.
That's the mind. Okay. Mm-hmm. So were you, I think I know the answer to this question already. As a teenager, when you start to think to yourself, when I grow up, I'm going to be an astronaut, a train driver, a doctor, a lawyer, a what?
Psychologist.
Oh, you knew it from the get-go.
I knew.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. As simple as that. Yeah. So then, okay, let's. So you just basically, all of your schooling was, let's get the grades I need in order to go to college to study psychology. Well, simple as that.
Right. That was the motivator for sure. Definitely.
Right. And then, so that's what you did. You studied. Yeah. Where did you study the psychology?
Loyola. I went there for bachelor's, master's, and for my PhD.
Oh.
Loyola, Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Okay, right. And we'll discuss a little bit that after we have the first piece of music and the first break. But before we leave the first section, the usual last question. I ain't never been to Chicago, so when I go there, because I will, what's the first thing I should look for?
You need to go on a boat tour, architectural boat tour, and just see the beautiful view
of the city. I think I've never heard architectural and boat tour in the same sentence, but now I realize what you mean. Mm-hmm. You see the skyline.
Yeah, and you really can see, it's such a different perspective from the lake. It's awesome.
Have you ever been to Liverpool?
I have not.
Because the famous ferry across the Mersey, which they made that song about, it goes from Liverpool across the river to the other side, and then it comes back. And it takes about, I don't know, half an hour maybe. And you can take the ferry to go and back. You don't get off at the other side, you just go out and come back. And why would you do that? You get a ferry from point A back to point A. It's because on the way back across the river, you see the skyline of Liverpool from different perspectives. And it changes as you get closer and closer to it. And it's marvelous. Now I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
And the same idea. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
And what about, is it your brother's distillery?
Oh, yeah. And then, of course, you have to stop at Maplewood.
Yeah.
Maple is my both of my brothers and their partner, Adam, have a brewery and distillery.
Oh. Right.
Yeah, award-winning beers and whiskey. It's great.
I'm straight there. Never mind the boat trip. Straight there. Let's get your first piece of music now. And there's a reason why you picked Sweet Home Chicago, obviously, because of Chicago. And there's a reason why you picked the Blues Brothers version of it. So tell me.
Yes, my mom is distant relatives of John Belushi. And I just thought
wait a minute.
The coolest thing. And I would tell everyone when I was younger.
Yeah. John Belushi.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. And so therefore, we have this. Needs no introduction, Sweet Home Chicago. Let's go.
Come on. Come on, baby, don't you wanna go?
Six and two is eight. Come on, baby, don't you make me late.
Gather around Radio Gorilla.
Expat Life.
Money, money, money.
Welcome back, Expat Life, with Dr. Constantina Cass and Nick sitting over there taking photographs, keeping a close watch on everything. Your mic's on, so you feel free to say whatever you like.
Okay.
Ah, there we go. That's enough. Off. All right. This is the money, money, money bit. So, you mentioned you were studying Laverne. Is that,
University of Laverne. Yeah, it was a school. I went there for postgraduate classes while I was doing the research for my dissertation in Athens.
So that was it back in Greece?
Back in Greece.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you studied also in Athens?
Yes.
Right. And so this was all doing, what, postgrad, PhD?
PhD.
Yeah, this is how you got your doctor thing.
Yes, yes.
Right. So to do that in... Was there a reason other than the fact that you just wanted to go, like, home, that you did that in Greece?
Well, yeah, exactly. Well, I love Greece, and I wanted to study in an international school, and I knew about ACS, American Community School in Athens. It was a great school because in my undergraduate training, I was at an international school in Chicago that had an IB program, and I noticed how stressed out the students were there.
What's an IB program?
International Baccalaureate Honors Program.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
And it's so funny because my boys are now, well, my one graduated from, and now my younger son's in an IB school here in Bucharest. So
right.
I wanted to study the effects of stress and burnout on those, on the students
right.
in that program. So that's why I went to, long story short, ACS in Athens.
Makes sense because, yeah, a good point, actually. I hadn't thought about it like this, but when you're piling all this pressure on the students because, you know, this is your life-changing one chance to get this right or else you're in deep trouble, boys and girls, it's like, ooh, maybe you should try a softer approach. Maybe there's more to
exactly,
it than that.
Exactly.
Good point. Yeah, because you can either get people so panicked that they don't perform well, or you can discourage them and they don't care, so they don't perform well.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So you got you did all that, your PhD, and you mentioned that this guy over there, that one there, I'll turn your microphone back on, because you might want
to.
Is, you met Nick, tell me, when, what after?
So I was in Chicago visiting family, and Nick was coming back from Turkey to visit his family, and we had a blind date. That's how we met. Our cousins kind of
set us up. Yeah?
Yeah.
And was it like a blind date where, what the hell am I doing here? Or was it instantly?
It was the instant.
Wow.
The instant.
I think she was scared.
I was a bit scared at first.
Yeah.
But I think it was just like so intense that like I was kind of afraid of my emotions almost in
right.
the beginning. Yeah.
Because you had this massive sense of relief. You just defended your dissertation. And it was like, okay, the future starts now.
Exactly.
That was it, written in the stars, wasn't it? Come on.
I think so.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Sounds like it. So anyway, so you met Nick and all of that happened. And then what happened?
And then after I defended the dissertation, then I moved to Turkey, where he was, and lived with him, and then we got married that year as well.
All right. Now then, I'm not going to ask you what you were doing in Turkey, at least not in detail, because you get your own show, if you want it, right? But what were you doing in Turkey?
Well, I was a U.S. diplomat.
Okay, that's enough. We'll tell the rest on your own show. Don't hog the limelight. It's Constantina's show now. So you went to Turkey with your diplomat husband.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. How did that feel?
It was great.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. It was a very fascinating place.
Mm-hmm.
And it was too short. We were there only 1 year. I could go back. It was great.
Right. And so, wasn't Istanbul? Was it probably Ankara?
Ankara.
Mm-hmm. Right. Uh-huh. But did you feel like you actually experienced Ankara, or was it sometimes in these situations you kind of herded into, call it like an inverse ghetto, you know? Protected and walled gardens and you have to keep yourself discreet and away from everyone. Or did you actually get out and play?
Oh, we got out and play, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
We were not the type to just stay in the same little
good
area. Yeah. We explored the whole Turkey, traveled a lot. It was excellent.
What's the best bit? I've only been to Turkey once, and that was by accident when I missed a plane.
I love Istanbul.
Yeah.
And Constantinople. That's what we actually had our engagement there with the Greek Orthodox Patriarch.
Right.
So that was a highlight, very big moment for us. Mm-hmm. And then later on, our first son was baptized there.
Okay.
Spiro, yeah.
Right. And then, so after you only spent 1 year there, which, okay, because that's, you have to go where they send you, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and what happened after that? You grew back to the States?
Then we lived in Virginia for 20 years. Is it 20 years?
Can't be 20 years.
No, 18 years. 18 years, 17 years. And I worked first in the school system. And then I got licensed and was in private practice for the rest of the time.
Right, working in the school system as what was it? Because you started like in the school system, you mentioned earlier with your initial training on the on the hotline. Did you go back and do more of that, or was it something totally different?
It was school psychology, so mm-hmm. it was a lot of.
I'm seeing a pattern here.
There's clearly a
thread going through the whole lot, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, and then. So you did that for a while, and then what was the trigger to say, okay, school psychology, enough already, let's get into private practice. What was it, did it just evolve, or was there something that made you go, I'm going to change?
Well, I wanted to spend more time in the therapy piece.
Right.
And in the school system, it's primarily evaluations and testing, so I liked the one-on-one, the therapy,
mm-hmm.
and specifically cognitive behavioral therapy. And I did a lot of training at the Beck Institute in Philadelphia. And Dr. Aaron Beck, I actually got to meet him, the founder of cognitive behavioral therapy.
Right.
In his, I think he was 97 when I met him, 96.
You mentioned Aaron Beck as if like, oh, we know who he is. For those who don't know, explain.
Dr. Aaron Beck mm-hmm. is the founder and developer of cognitive behavioral therapy, which is the gold standard for treating anxiety and depression.
Uh-huh.
And I was able to go to his institute and actually do a training role play with him.
Right.
So that was pretty much my highlight. And he did a lot of work with, he started with schizophrenic patients. Mm-hmm. And he always said the number one thing is to find out what lights up the person inside.
Right.
What they dream of and go from there.
Because there's always something. Right.
Yeah.
Everybody's got something that makes you go. Yeah.
Key. Yeah.
Right. Before that, you mentioned because I noticed a couple of things. Something called the GAIN, the Gang Avoidance Initiative. Now for children, tell me about that because it's not just an acronym looking for a name. Gang Avoidance Initiative. Now it's obvious what it means, but how did you? But how did you make that real?
So I was in my practicum for school psychology, mm-hmm. and I was in a Chicago school, and we had a significant gang presence there. And I was able to learn about and work with a program called Gang Avoidance Initiative Now. It was an alternative to suspension program. It was successful for some students who actually left the gangs or were steered away from the gangs. So instead of getting in trouble and suspended, they were put in this program
right.
to try to get them, you know, so we would have inmates come and give speech like what it's like in jail. Then we'd have someone who was injured in a gang shooting or something come in and
right.
show what they've gone through.
So instead of incarcerating or punishing people, encourage them to want to leave the gang environment.
And
because that way has a longer lasting effect, I think, if you get people to want to do something.
Mm-hmm. And generally, the ones that were in the program were just starting in the gang or, you know, they weren't so deep into it that it was successful to get them out of the gang.
Mm-hmm. Right. Nice. And mm-hmm. and you did that for 18 years, you said you spent there, which I find, that's a long time.
No. One year was that. That was 1 year.
I mean, you spent 18 years in Virginia.
Yes.
Oh, and then after that you came, was that the point that you came here?
Yes.
What was Nick doing all those 18 years? I'm still in the diplomatic service, but not moving around, which is unusual.
Yeah.
No, I was working in the White House.
Okay, no more questions. Don't give anything away here. Yeah, and then at a point, you came to Romania. But before we get to that point, because the clock's ticking, mm-hmm. This piece of music that you've picked needs absolutely no introduction. It goes like this. Okay, so tell me why this.
Oh, so this was when Nick and I were in Ankara. With our moms, we're visiting a little restaurant, and we're talking about our wedding and trying to pick our song. And the owner of the restaurant was playing guitar, and they just sang the song, and then this became our song, and we danced to it in the restaurant.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
Well, it's irresistible, and I can picture it. I can honestly picture this happening. Right. Yeah. Listen to Louis Armstrong, Wonderful World. No further questions.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue. Clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They're like much more. To myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Poftim brânza românească, deschidem vinul românesc, o zi întreagă și nu numai oferite de Carrefour ascultătorilor Radio Guerilla.
și pare că suferi. Eu mă sfârșeam cu un etaj sub tine și n-ai dat mesaj să mă întrebi ce mai fac. Mi-ai dat mesaj să-mi spui tot de tine. Pare că e ușor tot pentru tine. Aș fi vrut și eu să pot să fiu tare, dar doare mai mult decât vreau. Eu să doare și am zis că nu scriu, dar o mai fac o dată. Primăvara nu începe cu tine. Acum urăsc piesa aia fără motive, doar pentru că îmi amintește de tine. Îmi amintesc mult prea multe de tine. Și-ți văd modelul mașinii în trafic și trebuie să arcă mă gândesc că ești aici. Mai lăsa curând, n-am cicatrici. Și urăsc coborul și bere și mici. Sper că-i degeaba să zic să mai stai. Că totul e gata, că totul e bag. Că totul e gata, că totul e bag. Că totul e gata, că totul e bag. Sper că-i degeaba să zic să mai stai. Că totul e gata, că totul e bag. Că totul e gata, că totul e bag. Totul e gata, că totul e bag. București mi-ur la tine. Că de la Unirii luai metrou spre muncă. E un factor artă cum facem și atunci. Și încă nu știu dacă se șec sau bun. Acum nu mă ține nimeni și cred că nu e bine să fii prea bine. Mi-e frică că nu o să mai vreau niciodată să plec de aici și să merg în Berlin. E soare afară și eu stau în casă. Parcă e mai trist când e soare afară. Dacă o să plouă, să am motive să stau toată ziua în pat, să mă uit la filme. Am văzut doar că m-am gândit la tine. E un clișeu, nu o să zic câte zile. Mai scriu un mail, o să-l recitesc. Că te urăsc, încă te iubesc. Sper că-i degeaba să zic să mai stai. Că totul e gata, că totul e bag. Că totul e gata, că totul e bag. Că totul e gata, că totul e bag. Sper că-i degeaba să zic să mai stai. Că totul e gata, că totul e bag. Că totul e gata, că totul e bag. Totul e gata, că totul e bag. Sper că-i degeaba să zic să mai stai. Că totul e gata, că totul e bag. Că totul e gata, că totul e bag. Că totul e gata, că totul e bag. Sper că-i degeaba să zic să mai stai. Că totul e gata, că totul e bag. Că totul e gata, că totul e bag.
Poftim brânza românească, deschidem vinul românesc, o zi întreagă și nu numai oferite de Carrefour ascultătorilor Radio Guerilla.
Expat Life, powered by those beautiful people at Radio Guerilla.
Expat Life.
Chaotic. Quixotic.
Exotic.
Welcome back, Expat Life. Dr. Constantina Cass. Now, chaotic, quixotic, exotic. Supposed to describe Romania. Sometimes it describes the guest. So you ended up here. We're not going to repeat the story that you just told me off the air about how tricky that song was to dance to. So what on earth brought you here?
My husband retired, so I was a trailing spouse.
Do yourself a disservice here.
At first, you know, but of course I never stopped working. I right away jumped into teletherapy with my continued working with my Virginia clients.
Okay. But you just said there for a second that Nick retired from the
government.
Right. And that still doesn't explain what you're doing here.
Oh, and sorry. And then he got a job at Alexandrion.
Yes. Hence we both know Colin Lovering.
Yes, yes.
Correct. Uh-huh. Good people to know. Alexandria, the Carpathian whiskey's doing well.
Very well.
Remarkably well, yeah.
Yeah.
Just won another gold medal.
Another one, yeah. Okay. Again,
save
this for your show.
That's for sure.
So, but what was the trick? Why here? I mean, you retired from the U.S. diplomatic service, let's say. The world is indeed your oyster, and something brought you here.
We've been wanting to live overseas again. Ever since we left Turkey, we were trying to find a way to come back overseas. And it's kind of, we have the bug, the expat bug, I call it, right. Where you just kind of can't get enough of experiencing different cultures, different living in different countries.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so it was just, what was it like, just sticking a pin in a map and saying, let's try Romania? Or was there more to it than that?
Oh, well, the job offer came and was in Romania.
Uh-huh.
So that's kind of, we didn't kind of choose Romania first. Yeah.
It chose you.
Well, it chose us.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. And then you came as not the trailing spouse. I'm not buying that at all, right? But you have golden insight.
Yes.
Was this something you set up since you got here, or was that going from before?
This is new. This is new. Golden Insight.
Okay, tell us about it.
So I provide individual and group coaching for expats. I will also be starting to practice psychology here in Romania as well with the expat community for in-person therapy, providing cognitive behavioral therapy for anxiety and depression along with other services near the international schools.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And next month, I am starting 8-week groups to help those who are moving to new locations.
Let's be more specific. 8-week groups, what do you mean?
Oh, eight-week coaching groups for teens and parents. They're separate groups, parent group and then two teen groups, one to help them adjust and prepare for the upcoming move.
Ah, so... relevant to the expat life then. Yeah, when, if your family has to suddenly up sticks and disappear off to the other side of the world, it can be stressful and traumatic for everybody.
And I really believe, you know, being proactive, not waiting till they're really struggling and to kind of give them that support to help them strengthen their social emotional well-being. Mm-hmm. And all the sessions are going to be virtual, so the idea is for them to be worldwide and to be with people who are going through similar transitions.
Cool.
So hopefully it'll be richly diverse, you know, with the members. And, you said so I'm excited.
You're doing separate sessions for the parents and for the children.
Correct.
I think I can understand why, but in case I got it wrong, why?
Well, especially teens, they need their autonomy.
Oh, man, yes, don't they?
So, and parents, the parent groups are also for parents of younger children. So I'm not seeing the younger children online because it's not the same as in person. So the parents, they will learn some tools and techniques to help their younger children.
And let's be honest, with the teenagers, if you showed up in person, they wouldn't know what was happening because everything they do is online now.
Exactly. They almost prefer the convenience of just hopping on and...
Yeah. I've just had an idea. Could you find some way to conduct the therapy through the medium of Fortnite?
That's funny you should say that because,
Minecraft.
Yes, in the Virginia practice Instep that I'm still working out of.
Right.
We have Minecraft groups to help social... I'm serious. To help social skills. So it's excellent. They're very popular.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure of it. See? Wow. It's almost like a Trojan horse. You get into the video game and you start giving them all the therapy that they didn't realize they were getting.
Exactly.
Oh. Clever. You mentioned that you're still doing work with your, let's say, do you call them patients?
I say clients.
Clients better. Yeah. In back in Chicago in the US. So you're working strange hours because you're doing it via telemedicine, right?
Telehealth. So my clients are all in Virginia, so it makes for a late night work sessions. But it's great to have the convenience to keep up with my clients. But now I'm looking forward to being able to see clients in person here in Romania to add to my week.
You're going to end up
getting week.
Tired if you're working both day shift here and night shift online.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Nick, you're going to have to start cooking your own food.
Yeah.
That's going to be horrible for my kids.
And so you got these 8-week therapy, you mentioned it. What else have you got planned, Ivy? You imagine that you're thinking long-term for this.
Yes. I also want to express my... the services that I have, ongoing support groups for stayers too, because the ones that stay and don't move up, the stayers, they also experience a lot of grief and losses and need more support too.
Good point. There are two types of stayers, I think. At least two types of stayers, but there's the type of stayer that, like me, who frankly doesn't miss anything. Especially not because now you can get the BBC on the internet, right? Which is the only thing I missed. And you've got the stayers who, and I know plenty of them, who are every excuse to go back or think back or dreaming of, I'm going to go home one day. No. People ask me, even now after 30 years living here, people ask me, how often do you go home? And I say, every night.
Yeah.
Because it is. So, So the stayers who are pining for the fjords, like the dead parrot in the Monty Python sketch, you're here to help them.
That's right.
How do you? I don't want to give you trade secrets away, obviously, but what's the basic approach?
Basically, I go back to Dr. Beck's saying of finding out what lights them up inside, and then having them find that wherever they are, wherever they move, to keep their core values and beliefs and activities, and to be able to do that anywhere they go. And that really is helpful for them to have that stability throughout their life.
Uh-huh. Interesting, this thing that lights you up, because I remember now that one of the things when I realized that I wasn't going to leave here was, well, there were people involved, of course, but one of the things was getting close up and personal with the music scene here, because music is one, is the thing that lights me up inside, right?
Yeah.
And when I realized how many astonishingly talented musicians there are in this country and especially in this city, you could go out every single night and see someone who'll blow your socks off with their virtuosity and talent and skills and everything. And when I realized that I don't have to live in London for this or somewhere else, I can actually get this and a lot easier to find and a hell of a lot cheaper. Then yeah, so and that lit me up, and we were talking about it off air about the musicians, your landlord, and how there are musicians in this city who should be global superstars. They should be knocking you two off their perch. Why aren't they?
Yeah,
you two. I'm showing my age now, aren't I? God, talking to using a 40-year-old example there. Sorry.
Yeah.
So, if people are curious to find out the kind of ways you can help, how do we find you?
You can go to my website, goldeninsightcoaching.com.
All one word.
Yep,
all one word. Goldeninsightcoaching.com, all one word. And you find the rest out from there.
Yeah.
Excellent, excellent. You know what? Time is ticking away. Told you it was going to get faster as we got through it. Third piece of music. You picked some Greek music.
Yes, I have to.
Yeah, of course. tell me why you picked this particular piece of Greek music.
This song was the song that Nick and I walked into on our 600-people wedding.
your big fat Greek wedding.
Our big fat Greek wedding. Oh. And when they introduced us at the reception at the banquet hall, of course, my dad's banquet hall, it was, you know, it was this song.
Simple as that.
There you go.
Let's go.
Στο λαιμό μου από κοινή σου, να ονειρευτώ μαζί σου, μείνε μέσα στη ζωή μου,
yeah. No need to knock on my door when you want a little more, baby. I'll be right by you. See, I said,
this is Expat Life. You know you want it. Expat Life.
Next chapter.
Welcome back. Next chapter. Last chapter of the show, of course. Now, we're going to have about 3 minutes.
Okay.
To discuss. Maybe, yeah, three. Basically, what have you got plans for the future? Are you intending to stay here now that Nick's retired and you're not going to get sent off for somewhere on a job? Are you planning to, like, stay here? Or what have you got in mind?
Right now, I can't imagine leaving here, to be honest.
Yeah. That's the correct answer.
Yes. I love it. And I feel like every day we learn and find new areas to explore, and especially Transylvania. We love right. Transylvania.
Oh, yeah.
Gorgeous.
It took me about 15 years to discover it, but now I can't stay away.
Yeah. Oh,
it's astonishing, especially in the autumn. In the autumn, when there are, I don't know, 100 million different shades of yellow and green and brown all at the same time. It's the most amazing thing.
It is.
Spring's pretty nice as well.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Uh-huh. So you just get more of the same.
More of the same. Yeah. And I also volunteer at Alexandrian Foundation.
Tell me about the Alexandrian Foundation.
So we're trying to, one of my passions has always been to reduce the negative stigma of children and teens with special needs. And that is, there's a lot of work to be done in this area.
There's some work to be done here in that area.
Especially. Sure. And we're also getting together with some groups from America and also to team together to help kids on the spectrum, on the autism spectrum.
Right.
More services, transition services after high school, mm-hmm. nowhere in adulthood as well.
Are you familiar with the work of Light into Europe?
Yes, the dogs for the...
And they do the dogs for the blind.
Yes.
They teach deaf kids and autism as well. You maybe want to call out...
Yes, I actually have a friend of mine that is part of that organization. Right. I should talk to her about
you
that.
You should have a chat because they do also work in that area as well.
Great.
Useful to know. Sorry, it's all about you. It's about now, because we're out of time.
Oh, okay.
Last piece of music. Now, this is compared to what we played before, it's a bit of a curveball. Tell me, I've written down Dmitri Cantemir Collection. Tell me more.
Yeah, so this was music from Prince Dmitri Cantemir. He was born in 1673, died in 1723. I learned about him when I came to Romania and heard his music at a concert. And as for me as a psychologist and coach, it's very interesting because he blends cultures and influences in such an enriching way. He blends with the East and West. And as lots of expats feel a sense of loss when leaving the environments for another that they've come to love, Cantemir is interesting for me as a professional because he really symbolizes how you can internalize your exposure to different cultures and enrich your life.
Right.
These experiences are always with you, no matter where you go, and really help make who you are.
Right, yeah. Absorb everything, basically, and then, if necessary, reinterpret it.
Yeah.
All makes sense. And the secret, and this ties in with what you were helping, you know, the stayers, as you said.
Yes.
It's all about find the thing you love. In
exactly.
this case, music. We got to go. Thank you very much, Dr. Constantina Cass. That was a marvelous story, told in quite a hurry, but that's the way it always is, but told very well. And Nick, we'll talk about when you come on and tell your side of the story, and then we'll compare them later to see see if they're the same or not. Dmitri Cantemir Connection, thank you very much. We have to go. See you tomorrow night at Jazz Book for the Raul Kushak and Vali Rachila, if you're there. Otherwise, we got to go. This has been Expat Life. Thank you very much, Dr. Constantina Cass.
Thank you.
tune for Uman Rial. Young minds, fresh ideas. Listen again to this and previous shows. Find us at expatlife.ro.
Expat Life.
New maps, please.
Good night, everybody.
Pentru limba română, apasă 1.